Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. One of the most vexing impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic and the economic recession it has spawned is North Carolina's growing hunger crisis. As we head into the new year, the latest numbers show that a shocking percentage of North Carolinians of all ages are having trouble getting enough food to eat. A few weeks back, I got a chance to learn more about the scope and scale of the crisis, what one extremely important nonprofit is doing about it, and what you can do to help when I talked with the manager for strategic gifts at the Food Bank of Central and Eastern North Carolina, Lindsay Tomlinson. Welcome to News and Views. It sure is good to have you with us.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So at the outset, let's talk a little bit about the Food Bank of Central and Eastern North Carolina. I want to say to our listeners, we'll be sharing a website towards the end of this conversation, so get your pencil ready so you can write down how you can help out. But just let our listeners know again what the Food Bank of Central and Eastern North Carolina does, all the kinds of people it serves, and why the work is so important.
So the Food Bank of Central and Eastern North Carolina serves a 34-county service area in North Carolina. And last year alone, nearly 600,000 people, which is about 16% of the total population, were working in food insecure situations. Hunger really is still a serious problem in Central and Eastern North Carolina. You know, these are working families and children, seniors who just have struggled to consistently get food on their table.
It's a remarkable number, and we know that it's gotten worse in 2020, that even in 2019, more than 1 in 7 people in our state, or at least in our service, your all service area, literally isn't sure all the time of where they're going to get enough food to feed their family. It's a remarkable statistic to get one's arm around, but that's the true situation, right? And it's gotten worse in 2020?
Unfortunately, yeah. So this year, the need is even more staggering because of the COVID-19 crisis. We're looking at more than 760,000 people are facing hunger, which is about a 38% increase over last year.
I want to talk more about the work of the pantries and exactly how it works, but I do want to note a couple more statistics. Of that 750,000 people, your website indicates that fully a third of those people are children, right? And a lot of them are seniors as well. It runs the whole gamut.
It really does. And again, you know, working families, children and seniors, and we have programs for children and seniors specifically to help get food to those. And seniors especially are hard to reach just because they often live in remote areas. And especially with COVID, they can't be out because they are at higher risk. So we're doing a lot of direct distribution to those folks as well right now.
I think most people, when they think of the food bank, and you may shed some light on this as well, we have sort of the image of a place, maybe it sort of looks like a grocery store that one goes and one can walk down the aisles with a shopping cart and get some food. And I gather that's still the model in many places, but it's also true that you all are now taking this step to actually deliver directly to people's homes.
Yeah, I'd say we've definitely had some challenges and some new operations to safely supply and distribute food due to the crisis. But one thing that we're doing, especially for seniors with our CSFP, which is the Commodities Supplemental Food Program, is that we are taking our senior boxes door to door where it's needed and dropping them off on a one-to-one basis to make sure that that monthly box is delivered to those seniors who need it.
The pandemic has obviously placed some challenges on y'all in terms of just running a nonprofit and somehow managing traffic, right?
So one really interesting thing, you know, we rely heavily on volunteers in a normal year to be able to get through all of the donated products. You know, produce, for example, we get a lot of really great produce being here in North Carolina from our farm partners, but we aren't able to have as many volunteers on site at once due to social distancing requirements. So we've had to get really inventive on how we have our volunteers come in and work through product and being really nimble and being able to take folks outside when they come on site to volunteer and limiting the number of folks on site and even having the partners who come where they, you mentioned it being set up like a grocery store. When our partner agencies come to do their shopping, before they would actually come in the building and walk around kind of set up like a Costco. We're not doing that anymore. We're actually having all of their orders pulled and delivered outside to them to reduce the risk of, you know, any kind of exposure that could happen. So definitely changed our model up a bit. Of course, you know, it looks totally different in the office. Everybody is in a mask and can tell by the eyes if we're all smiling, and we are, because it's definitely humbling to be able to do this work and to be able to do it with a happy heart. It's just a whole nother thing. It's incredible.
We're talking with Lindsay Tomlinson, who's the manager of strategic gifts for the food banks of Central and Eastern North Carolina, about how the pandemic has affected their work, the challenges that it's placed on them. Obviously, it's important for us to have lots of gifts from the community, from foundations, from individuals who want to help out. But it's also important for the federal government to continue to keep that flow coming from Washington, right? This is a time in which the need for federal assistance is probably as great as it's ever been.
Absolutely. Our food bank helps operate a lot of federal nutrition programs that are hugely important to the people we serve. And it takes all sectors to build solutions to end hunger. And this pandemic has really just illuminated and made that very clear.
How can people help? Can they volunteer? Can they make donations? I assume they should go to that website.
With all the kind of pivots we've made this year and kind of moving into the next normal, into the holidays, we all kind of know that feeling of warmth and security that comes from being around a meal with family. And so this year we're asking you to help us provide that hope for the holidays. If you're able to donate, please visit foodbankcenc.org/hope to provide hope with a warm meal for people in need, for our neighbors, for folks that you know and some that you may not know. You can also volunteer if you're well. We certainly definitely need volunteers. In a normal year, volunteers double our staff with their hours contributed, so we can definitely use folks on site helping us work through food and do other tasks to keep us moving forward. Share with someone in your network about the work we're doing. Again, I mentioned, yes, this is very large, but it starts with education and sharing with others what we do. Most of what I do in my job, I call it myth busting. I do a lot of sharing that this is not just, dried goods and canned goods that we're putting out to the community. It's nourishing people with really great healthy foods, and it's building solutions to end hunger, and it's empowering communities through advocacy and really hopefully in the next 40 years we won't be here doing this work anymore. Hopefully we will help make sure that no one goes hungry.
Yeah, that sounds like a great objective to work yourself out of a job. We wish you all the best with those efforts. Thank you so much, Lindsay, for being with us, folks. That website, again, is foodbankcenc.org. Check it out. Offer your time and your treasure to them, and I'm sure they'd be most appreciative. And Lindsay, we'll talk again in 2021.
Thank you so much.
You stay safe and keep up the good work. Coming up next, one of the state's leading advocates for civil rights and civil liberties joins me to discuss some of the most contentious issues roiling our nation. Stay with us.